Step 7. Humbly ask and remove our shortcomings. Most of you guys know very well a great deal about this. You don't have to be told. I know you don't. But maybe we can run through quick on, because of the video there. This alcoholic got a hold of me and talked to me and told me about that he thought that there was something I needed to know, something I should consider, and that something that that he did, that he could do, could show me something that if I would try it and could benefit by it, I could keep it and keep doing it and benefit by it by doing more of it and so on. Anyway, we got into the step 7 about shortcoming meaning essentially the shortcomings were things that were lacked and I felt short of, or they were omitted, there were things that weren't being done, they weren't there, and so on like that. And so then he referred to the defects as things that I was doing that I shouldn't do, and shortcomings then were things I should do that I wasn't doing. And then he started to relate this into a performance that I was in. He started out with a toothpick on the floor, picking the toothpick up, and I'd say, why should I pick a toothpick up? What's that got to do anything? And he said, well, he said, especially in your own home, and he put that in there, was the fact that in my home I was the king of the castle, and I considered that I don't have to do many things there, you know, because I'm entitled to have someone else do whatever's there. And so he said, well, he said, if you don't pick that toothpick up, somebody else is going to have to. The only thing he was showing me was that there's a world that I live in, that the other people are there too, and that there's a point or there's a place that a performance has to be given that's going to come from me to this world that I have, meeting people. I have to start going to people. And so here's where I learned a great deal about who I am. I'm an alcoholic now, and I'm a taker. I've always been a taker, whether I was drunk or sober, and I'm a real taker. I want from you everything I can get from you, but I don't want to pay back anything. I don't want to give you anything. I don't want to share anything, unless I have to. And if I have to, I'll go along with the fact that you're a pretty good guy, so I'll share something with you, but not you, because I don't like you. I don't think you can do me any good. So I'll consider the other person. Now this isn't drunkenness now, this is being sober. This is a thought process. This is an attitude that I have already established. This is in me. And so I found out that I'm a taker when I'm sober. I want things, and I want them my way, and I want them now, and I want them under conditions that I don't have to answer to, and I expect these things. And I want these things, and I want them out of women, and I want them out of men, I want them out of everybody I come to contact with. I'm a special person. I need to be handled special. And I want consideration over and above every other person, every other alcoholic. Now that's me. I'm an alcoholic. Now the self-honesty that I learned from my sponsor, right in the very beginning, was exactly about this right now. About how I live in a world that I want to control this world. I want this world to be like I want it to be. And I'm going to push and shove, and I'm going to try to make that happen all the time. And if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to hate your guts. I'm an alcoholic. I got a brain that's full of alcoholism because it's my brain. And as long as my brain is in my head, it's going to do the same thing to me that it always does. And the only way I think that I'll ever be able to get rid of that without the 12 steps of the program of recovery is get a head transplant. Because I can't, that's a fact, I can't use that brain in a power form for my life. I can't. It will. There's too many variables out there. There's too many people that say no. There's too many people say, no, I can't give you that. I won't do that. There's too many things happening around me that I can't stand. And I can't live in this world when I can't stand it. Everything's wrong. And I should have learned, or I should know that even when I was drinking, but I didn't. Because I took another drink and then everybody got nice people again. See, everything changed. Then when I got sober, I couldn't take that drink no more. And so I got this world that I live in now. And that these steps here right now, the intent of the principles that are behind it, will make that world that I live in the world that's acceptable, that it's not unmanageable, it's not full of hateful people, it's not full of disappointments, failures, it's not full of struggle, it's not full of the things that my eyesight and my ears produce. It's not. But so the shortcomings that are in here, the shortcomings started out, like I told you, on the toothpick on the floor. It started out in a performance that I had to keep giving. The performance I had to keep giving now was a performance that was based what it says in here. And this here has to be really clarified, really understood. And it starts right out in step 7. It says, since this step so specifically concerns itself with humility, we should pause here to consider what humility is and what the practice of it can mean to us. Indeed, the attainment of greater humility is the foundation principle of each of the AA's 12 steps. For without some degree of humility, no alcoholic can stay sober at all. Nearly all AA's have found, too, that unless they develop much more of this precious quality than may be required just for sobriety, they still haven't much chance of becoming truly happy. Without it, they cannot live to much useful purpose or in adversity, be able to summon the faith that can meet any emergency. Man, that's real. That's covering a lot of ground. That's really important to know. Now, this is step 7. This isn't about being angry, hostile, or full of jealousy, envy, hate, whatever you can name. This isn't about this now. This is totally removed from there, because this right now is what I learned down in the big book, on top of page 63, and then I learned down in 2 now, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us, or could restore me to sanity. And this means now about something that I have to live in a world now where I have to perform. I have to do things now. But how am I going to do these things, and what are these things, and who am I going to do it to? See, this is what this is about. Because they're talking in here about humility, and without it, it says that we can't even stay sober at all if we don't have some degree of it. And it talks in here about humility. As a word and an idea has a very bad time of it in our world, not only is the idea misunderstood, which it was me, is that the word itself is often intentionally disliked. Many people haven't even not an acquaintance with humility as a way of life. Now that's what's important. Humility as a way of life is what this is going to lead into now. Because humility as a way of life must mean that to produce humility, meaning that the performance that I'm giving is not for recognition, not for acknowledgement, not for the purposes that I want or anything like that. This means that humility is doing something without even being found out. This means that doing something that you will benefit from, I won't. Because I'm a taker, I'm not a giver. And I know that, see. But see, I'm willing to, like I did before, I'm willing to write about me, but I'm not willing to accept me. See? That's what 5 does. That's where I missed the boat, see. I didn't understand who was going to do what to who, and who was to benefit by this. See? Because I was always looking elsewhere, meaning away from me, for satisfaction, for performance. I want you to perform. You don't want to perform. Hell with that noise. See? Don't you know that I'm a special person? I need to be considered over and above anybody else? And so this is why step 7 is in an order form, a logical order form of a place in the steps, so that this performance here now will allow me now to go into a world that I live in and start living in that world for the purpose that I should live, to do God's will, to serve God and man, meaning that I should now stop being a taker. I got to perform now for my happiness, for my useful purpose in life. The true meaning now about what it says in the foreword of this here book right here. And this here is something that I believe that any alcoholic has to know this. It says AA's 12 steps are a group of principles spiritual in their nature, which if practiced as a way of life can expel the obsession to drink and enable the sufferer to become happily and usefully whole. Now we're up in 7. I'm starting to be usefully whole because I'm not looking now elsewhere. I'm not doing things for my pleasure, my benefit, my way, my needs. I'm not doing this now. I'm going to go away from there. But as I have to find out how to do this, I must understand a great deal. And step 7 is really clear to me, it is, about what it says and what it does. And it isn't clear because I've done this in a long time or anything like that. It's clear because the intent of what it says here, when it says, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Now I know what shortcomings are. In humility and humbleness, I know what that means now. I do know. So, and then it says in here, this lack of anchorage, any permanent values, this blindness to the true purpose of our life, produced another bad result. For just as long we were convinced that we could live exclusively by our own individual strength and intelligence, for just that long was a working faith in a higher power impossible. Now, what they were talking about here, I knew immediately when they said things like this. For just so long as we were convinced that we could live exclusively by our own individual strength and intelligence, because I was sober a year, sober 2.5 years, and I was still ranging my life, pushing and shoving. With my brain, being as smart as I am and who I am, I ought to be able to figure this out. I ought to be able to make this work. And this is me all the time. And no matter where I go, there's no God, there's no power, there's no nothing else. But here I am doing this, though, and I recognize this, and I understand this now, because it says, this was true even when we believed that God existed. We could actually have earnest religious belief, which remained barren because we were still trying to play God ourselves. As long as we placed self-reliance first, a genuine reliance upon a higher power was out of the question. That basic ingredient of all humility, a desire to seek and do God's will, was missing. And that's the way an alcoholic like me, with alcoholism in my brain, that's what I produce. I produce this here, what it says, exactly that. That I was putting me first, over and above God. I was letting God help me stay sober. I was willing to know that a power is over alcohol, and I was willing to have God stop the alcohol and the alcoholism. But that's all. But up here it's saying something now, which I've already covered greatly in the steps. It says in here that as long as we place self-reliance first, a genuine reliance on a higher power was out of the question. That's something. And so it started out here now about, from there I had to go into, here, next page. It says, during this process of learning more about humility, the most profound result of all was the change in our attitude toward God. And this was true whether we had been believers or unbelievers. And they're covering everybody. And they're covering me because I was truly an unbeliever. And so we began to get over the idea that the higher power was sort of a push-leg pinch hitter to be called upon only in an emergency. The notion we would still live our own lives, God helping a little now and then, began to evaporate. And I was doing exactly that. Many of us who have thought ourselves religious woke to the limitations of this attitude, refusing to place God first. We had deprived ourselves of His help, but now of the words of myself, I am nothing, the Father doeth the work, began to carry a bright promise in me. So, as an alcoholic with alcoholism, it says in here, the notion that we would still live our own lives, God helping a little now and then, began to evaporate. And that's exactly what I was, how I was living and what I was doing, is because I wanted to be sober, and I wanted to be a winner, and I wanted all these things that was around me at meetings and you guys and everything else like that. And I wanted many, many things, but I was not willing to pay the price to do what was necessary to do to have that. I wanted to be sober, but I still wanted to have me as the authority for my life. I wanted to be able to call upon my brains to the way I should act and what I should say and do, and how I should do this. And yet it says here, I can't do that. I just can't do it. Well, right before that, it says here something else now. This is important, and I'll get off of it. It says, but when we have taken a square look at some of these defects, this is step seven. It says, but when we have taken a square look at some of these defects, a square look at some of these defects, what would that be? Would that be step four? And have discussed them with another, that would be step five. And have become willing to have them removed, that would be step six. And thinking about humility, our thinking about humility commences to have a wider meaning. But in this time, in all probability, we have gained some measure of release from our more devastating handicaps. Our most devastating more devastating handicaps, to me, was very obvious. Because what we just got through making the list, we got through sharing them, admitting it, accepting it, and saying, that's me, and now we're going to have God take them, get ready to have them, entirely ready to have them take a move, a wall of them. It says, we enjoy moments in which there is something like real peace of mind. To those of us who have hitherto known only excitement, depression, or anxiety, in other words, to all of us, this newfound peace is a priceless gift. Well, what newfound peace? See? Because I'm in step seven. So it says in here, to those of us who have hitherto known only excitement, depression, or anxiety. Well, see, right away now, I got to stop. I got to think of what they're talking about. They're talking about an unmanageable life. They're talking about alcoholism. They're talking about something that I know a great deal of, because I do know what it's like to be restless, irritable, and discontent. I do know what it's like to be so damn anxious. I can't sit still. I got to move. I got to go somewhere. I got to do something. I can't stay here and benefit from nothing. Because I'm talking to here, and the authority says, get out of here. Go, man, go. And I do, and I go. But here it says differently. It says in here exactly this. It says, to those of us who have hitherto known only excitement, depression, or anxiety, in other words, to all of us, this newfound peace is a priceless gift. Something new, indeed, has been added. Where humility has formerly stood for a force feeding on humble pie, which was me. I always was eating humble pie. I was always telling somebody, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I'm sober, I'm not drunk. And I'm trying to clear myself all the time by eating humble pie. And then turn right around and do it again. It says this, where humility has formerly stood for a force feeding on humble pie, that means now, without steps, without treatment of alcoholism, just living in the unmanageable life with alcoholism, that's the way I am. But then it says also this, where humility has formerly stood for a force feeding on humble pie, it now begins to mean the nourishing ingredient which can give us serenity. See, this is what I wanted all the time. But this here is something that I can't understand, this kind of stuff. It don't make sense. What the hell does this mean? See, how am I supposed to? It says in here, it says, they're talking now about, until now our lives have been largely devoted from running from pain and problems. We fled from them as a plague. We never wanted to deal with the fact of suffering. Escape via the bottle was always our solution. Character building, though suffering might be all right for saints, but certainly didn't appeal to us. Then in AA, we looked and listened. Everywhere we saw failure and misery transformed by humility. Humility is what we're talking about now in step seven, about what it is and how you get it, and exactly in a performance, going to people and God, getting away from self, now you're a giver. You're not a taker. This is your life that you're doing now, doing things with no recognition, no acknowledgement. This is something you're going to benefit by, but it's going to be an inside job. The benefit that you receive is the benefit that they're describing here. The benefit is living this life, not your ideas, not your way. This is a new method they're talking about, a different system, a different way of thinking, acting, being. So it says in here, then in A, we looked and listened. Everywhere we saw failure and misery transformed by humility into priceless assets. We heard story after story how humility has brought strength out of weakness. In every case, pain had been the price of admission into the new life. But this admission price had purchased more than expected. It brought a measure of humility, which we soon discovered to be a healer of pain. We began to fear pain less and desired humility more than ever. This is where the part I found out, that as an alcoholic, right now, where I'm at now, that when I give a little, I get a little. Meaning that I can stay sober, that I don't have to be falling down drunk, that I don't have to be the same character I was. But this is only a part of it. This is only a beginning. This is only a small, just a like opening a door and looking in. Because I found out that the more I give, not take, give, that covers a lot of ground. That covers money. That covers sleepless nights. That covers lost meals. That covers gasoline. That covers a lot of things, a lot of effort, a lot of pain up in the brain, of thinking, and then going back to the God for more power, for more ideas, for more help, and going again. This is where it's at now. This is giving a self so that I benefit by it, not the other person, not the other alcoholic. If he benefits, that's God's business, not mine. I can't get me sober. I can't get him sober. I can't give me this understanding. How can I give it to him? I can't. So I must be a giver, not a taker. This is an inside job now with a relationship to a power greater than me for my life to do for me what I can never do for myself. And this is step 7 now. This is now in a position, in an order form, so that there's something going to follow this now, but it can't be there unless this is done. This is another step, the same as the rest of them were, that one must come before the other. Seven we can go a great deal on. Seven we can stay on and really, really pound away on that. But step 9, may direct the man to such people where possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. I'm sorry. 8. I'm trying to get away from this here. Made a list of all persons who were harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 8, I have the only problem I had with step 8 that I can remember, that I see, that I recognize and know, and that is that I did have a list of, and there was a lot of people I've made direct amends, and I've covered the list and everything else, but I never understood the meaning behind the harm in there, because the other harms that I considered or I recognized or I listed even were always had something to do with stealing, cheating, sex-wise, had something to do with fighting, hurting people, getting hurt, and things like that. That was what I thought it was all about. And so the full application of this step, I thought I had done it. In fact, I did make a list of everybody that I could think of, even my wife, that I'd taken through the drinking days. I had done all of these things, but I never considered in here. It says some gross misbehavior is not by any means a full catalog of such harms we do. Let us think of some of the more subtle ones, which we can sometimes be quite as damaging. Suppose that our family lives we happen to be miserably irresponsible, callous, or cold. Suppose that we are irritable, critical, impatient, or humorless. Suppose we lavish attention upon one member of the family and neglect the others. What happens when we try to dominate the whole family, either by rule of iron or by the constant outpouring of minute directions for just how their life shall be lived from hour to hour? What happens when we wallow in depression, self-pity, oozing from every pore, and inflict that upon those about us? Such a roster of harms done others, the kind that make daily living with us practicing alcoholics difficult and often unbearable, could be extended almost indefinitely when we take such personality traits into those shops, office, and society of our fellows. They can do damage almost as extensive as that we have caused at home. The point here was the fact that was the treatment that I would give. Now, in my home, I didn't have any kids.
So hold it.
Okay.
Didn't start.
step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends for them all, is that I was willing to do anything at all so long as I knew how to do it or the direction or the way it was presented to me. And so the hardest part about this, of course, was the fact of the reason, the true reason, the reasoning behind of making a list of all these people I had harmed and why I'd become willing to make amends to them all, because the amends that I needed to make, the obvious ones, I could make easy. So to make a list, I could put a lot of people down for a lot of reasons. And so I even, like I said, I had before, I even had my wife's name on there. See? And so the benefit of the meaning behind the application of making a list was to straighten out a lot of, or have a lot of my past that I could do something about that so that I didn't have to carry the past or relive the past or stay in the past. And so to make, so in step nine, when I got to nine, to make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others, everything was pretty clear to me. Everything was, and I did make a list, and I did go to these people, and my father, and mother, and my sister, and everybody, I did exactly what I was supposed to do according to what I believed at the time of the list, and also the kind of harm that I'd done. Except I didn't do my wife. And the reason why is, at that time, I suppose it's the same reason that I guess any alcoholic wouldn't do it, is that I was going to do it, and I kept putting it off. And by me putting it off, I had better than 2.5 years when I was in this, now making the beginning of this here application for to treat my alcoholism, my brain, and that. And so it came to the place that I kept putting it off, but I kept being the same man about her as I was in the beginning. In other words, I wouldn't deliberately, knowingly hurt her, but I would think it though. I would entertain the thought. I would think that she's not performing well. Anyway, what I'm driving at now is the fact that is that 3.5 years now came, and she got sick on a Thursday, and she died on a Sunday morning. In 4 days, she was dead. And in that 4 days, I lived in living hell because of she was in the hospital, and she was very sick, and the oxygen and so forth. And I never once made any direct amends to her about my past. I had a sponsor that showed me letters, and which the letters said that she had written to him about my performance, what I was doing, how we were getting along, and so forth. And he was doing that to try to ease my mind by showing me that she did understand, and she did know that I was not the same man, and that I was trying the best I could and so forth. But that wasn't good enough for me, though, because I knew that that wasn't true. It wasn't true at all because I didn't do anything about it. I didn't do what the steps said to do, and I didn't receive the benefit from the steps, which is the intent of it there, to make direct amends to those. Because this harm that I did her is something that I wouldn't do. Now, other people, like my dad, I did go to my dad, and I did talk to him and try to tell him and try to let him know that the performance I did, the things I did, the way I treated him, how, and I beat the man up one time even, and things like that, I was living a life then that I couldn't control, that the alcohol had my brain so bad that I damaged and I hurt people that I was so sorry for, and that I was trying to straighten out my life today and make amends and try to make up or try to do something to show them that I'm not that person no more. And I did do that, and I did benefit from that, but I didn't benefit from my wife. And so I paid the price. I lived another couple of years reliving all of the experiences, all of the bad thoughts, all the bad deeds, all the bad mind that I had produced because I didn't apply the step. I did not use the step in a place where I should have used it. The purpose behind nine, I don't think there's a great amount in nine that has to be even discussed unless it's on a one-to-one in a personal way or to help. So Step 10 is continue to take the personal inventory. One where Rob promptly admitted it. I had a sponsor that right away he started. This is one of the steps I told him I ain't never going to do. I told him he just stick that one. And because when he told me what it means and what it's about as far as about being wrong, promptly admitted, and that's something I couldn't buy. I just couldn't understand that. I just wouldn't accept that. So, but here's the way he told me about it. This is the way I learned it. This is what was given to me, is that step 10 says continue to take a personal inventory when we're wrong, promptly admit it, was that this is the help me in the day I'm in the performance I'm in, where I'm trying to live accordingly now to the principles and the steps, so that I won't use or won't bring back into my life known defects of character, that I do have something now for not only an awareness, but I have a living life with a living God, a living power that I'm going to use daily to treat my alcoholism. And so in this respect then, it says promptly admitted, he says promptly admitted to God. And then he said, and also that's this day today, when you do this, when you are in that performance. So he said, but it also has another effect. He said, and the other effect is that these, what they're talking about in the beginning, are the known defects of character. That means that the character you are, you have these defects of character in you, and you can be producing and using them defects of character for your life as the day goes on. He said, but there's also another factor. He said, there's also other defects of character that are not yours that you will acquire in sobriety, that you will entertain these thoughts, you will do these things, and you will achieve or have new defects of character. Defects of character you didn't bring here. Defects of character you didn't have when you were drinking. This is also for that reason. Because this is alcoholism we're talking about, and this is another way for an alcoholic to do something and excuse himself, or to do something and get away, and think he's going to get away with it. And yet, though, it wasn't a thing that was on your list that you did in 4, it's something you shared in 5, and something that God took away in 6. This is something that isn't even there in them steps, but this is something brand new. And so I found out that there was defects of character that I was using or thinking about or getting away with that I didn't even recognize or didn't have on any kind of list of any time. You know, I didn't even consider it. And this is after some years of sobriety now I'm talking about. This isn't when I was struggling with an unknown method of living or anything like that. And so step 10 is really, it's an ongoing process, which all the steps are accordingly, but it's also an ongoing process of the correction or the performance that I'm in that has to be watched real carefully. It has to be considered real carefully each and every day, because, you know, on page 90, where it says it's a spiritual action that every time we're disturbed, no matter what the cause, there's something wrong with us. What that meant to me is that I could sit, or I could be in the world I'm in today, at any time, at any place, and I can become very, very upset. I can become really upset. And what I'm upset about has no importance at all for my life. It has nothing to do with it. It doesn't affect my life one bit. Not one bit does it affect it. But it's bothering me. It's upsetting me. It's making me very, very upset, very angry inside. It's hurting me, and I'll do this, and I'll entertain this, and it's always has something to do maybe with someone else, and yet though I know that alcoholism is a disease of the mind. I know that I cannot entertain thoughts powered by self, coming from self, using self in that respect. I can't do it because I must call in the power greater than me to help me figure out my life today or do my life today. And yet though, I'll still go ahead and I'll consider certain places or certain things or thoughts that bother me, upset me. And there's something the matter with me, it says here, the spiritual axiom, because I had to understand what an axiom, I didn't know what an axiom was. And then that was explained to me that an axiom is something that doesn't need an explanation. It displays itself. It shows itself. It's always the axiom is always. I would be able to recognize or see or know something that's going on, and I don't have to be told. And like when I would be angry, I didn't have to tell you I was angry. You knew that by the way I talked, the way I looked, and how I acted. And so that axiom, see, when they said a spiritual axiom, meant that I'm lacking spiritual guidance or help or understanding or the relationship to a power and so on. And so this here I wouldn't accept. I wouldn't buy this. I just absolutely said no, that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. I'm entitled to get mad at certain things because certain things are going on too much, too heavy, too long, too many times, and so forth. I'm entitled to have feelings. I'm entitled to think the thoughts that I'm thinking because I've done the very best I can do and they still won't change. The people still want to say and do their things, and so I'm going to show them now that this isn't the way it should be. I don't see the application now. I don't understand. I don't relate a principle there. I don't relate my life to a principle for any guidance or any direction coming from this particular step for the reason that's there. And yet, though, I'll say after a meeting, I'll say the Lord's Prayer. And I'll say in the prayer the words that are in there for a special reason, see. And even in the Serenity Prayer, see. And I don't know that principles that they're talking about here is the principles that if I will use principles, if I'll treat my neighbor as I'd like to be treated, that's a principle. That when I do that, I receive back results that are proven, that are good, that work. And so that means that there's something there in a performance that's based on something that works, something that produces something that I need. I need to have this. I need to understand that if I love my neighbor as myself, there's a principle there. So step 10 is where this here was now coming to light to me. That all of these things they're showing you now in steps are things that I must do. I must not read them. I must not listen to them. I must not hear you, but I must do something now along this here direction or this way or this method that they're talking about here. And if I will do this method, I will get some, I will receive some of a different life or a different way, a different results. And so step 10 now started opening up into where other people. And because it says in here, it says, can't we be properly angry with self-righteous folks? For us of AA, these are dangerous exceptions. They're talking about justifiable anger. And if somebody cheats us, or we're supposed to be entitled to get mad. And it says in here that we have found that justified anger ought to be left to those better qualified to handle it. And so this here now is a great deal about a character. This is step 10 now. And the character that I'm trying to be is the character that's going to be based on principles that are already there, that are established. They're not something that I have to trial and error. I have to try to see if they work. I don't have to try to see if they fit certain people. They fit my life. And wherever my brain is, my brain is being treated with principles that are guiding and directing it. And so the thought process that's needed is already established. It isn't something that I have to get ready for. It's not something that's going to fit certain situations at certain times for certain reasons. This is now where the character that I want to be all the time, I can be this character, because the character that's needed for this now is already in the living, performing life with a great deal already established, already there. Because step 10 is the daily is where the daily reprieve that was talked about. It's also that an inventory is going on all the time. It's not an inventory like four was done to get rid of something and now you're past it. So it's like it's an alcoholism. It's got a treatment. And now the treatment is going to fix tomorrow and then anything else from that point on. There's nothing like that. And this is hard. This is hard for me to understand, because why should I entertain a thought right now, wherever I'm at, that's causing me trouble or disturbing me or bothering me or making my life unmanageable? Why should I have anger or hatred or any of these other things that I've learned are the things that were killing me, the things that were causing my life, so that I had to drink? And I'm sober now, and I'm starting to entertain the same thoughts, the same things that I had to drink over. I had to drink to get away from these here things that I couldn't stand. In other words, the alcohol that was treating my alcoholism, I'm sober now, and I'm starting to go back into that same type of thinking. That same type of thinking without the alcohol. And this is where now, step 10 on the inventory. This is all about this now. This isn't like leaven, what leaven's going to do or say or anything else. Step 10 is another step, I believe. I know that all steps are important. I know that. But I know that each step, at certain steps, at certain times, are more important than others because they have a greater impact or they have a bigger effect on the condition of my life today, or where I'm at today in my life, and the problems or the troubles or the brick walls that I run into, the step itself, one particular step, the principles that come from that seem to take away the hurt or the troubles of the day and makes the day more of the day it should be. And so this step now is another step that is in that category, as far as I'm concerned, that the thoroughness is needed for my life. In an application form, this has got to, I must stay here until I understand, not understand in the effect that I'm going to do that, but to understand the need of this step in an application form so that my alcoholism now can grow or go into a different method or a different way of life. And all through on step 10, they're talking about self, what self has to do, and about how where self needs self-restraint and a willingness to admit the fault where it lies in self. And it's all talking about self in a performance, about coming from doing things that are very disturbing, very wrong, into things now that can be corrected. The willingness to do it, the place it lies is in me, it's in my brain. And this is step 10. We went through this way down earlier, of recognizing 4 and 5, admitting, accepting that this now is something I can accept because I've already have recognized and already have accepted me for who I am with all these defects. And here they're showing me now how not to use them defects and how to recognize them or to be aware of them. And also if anything else appears, if some brand new ideas come in that are going to hurt me or hurt you, I can't use them. I can't entertain them kind of thing. And they're talking in here about the evening coming up before going to sleep and that. I think that all of these here things here, you can go into great detail about this here in step 10, about the thoroughness of this day to day, of trying to be with the power greater than me, trying to change, trying to see where the... If I miss the mark and don't know it, I could recognize it or I could become aware of it so that I don't have to keep missing the mark. I don't have to keep suffering from my own selfish self or from my own performance that I give. So step 10, why should I be willing, as an alcoholic, why should I be willing to accept less than what God wants me to have? But why should I be willing to accept this day as a day of trouble, adversity, of trouble, of all kinds of making, whether they're my own making or whether it's the world out there? Because I learned that this world I live in, there's going to be trouble, there's going to be tragedy, there's going to be adversity, there's going to be sickness, there's going to be loss of money, divorce, health, and so forth and so on. There's going to be that because the world turns that way, though it's the way life lies. But I don't have to accept that as the final answer, as the final word, or the final result. I don't need to, because I do have something now that's great, far greater than whatever I could produce, and even in thought or in deed, that this power that I'm talking about can always do better than I can do, that can do things I can't do. And this is 10, is where this has to be in an application form so that I can have what God wants me to have today, and I can be the character He wants me, because This step here will tell me, show me, and let me be aware of me when I'm not that man. And I'm not going to be satisfied today and from this point on with anything at all or anything less than what self does or what self will produce. I just won't do it. I don't have to no more. I don't need to. I don't have to do less than anything now, than 10. Because now 10, it ends 10, it says, having so considered the day, not omitting to take due note of things well done, and having searched our hearts with neither fear nor favor, we can truly thank God for the blessings we have received and sleep in good conscience. And I learned a long time ago exactly what that means, because I'd go to bed at night, meaning the end of the day, whatever that was, and I would end that day, and I had seen great troubles. I had seen loss of property, money, and possessions, and all kinds of what I considered the dirty side, the downside, the bad side of life. And so I would go through experiences like that, and then at that night, I still, during the day, I didn't lose the relationship with God. I didn't die and didn't have to get drunk. I didn't have to kill anybody. I didn't have to lose the life that God has presented me with the recovery program. I didn't have to. I didn't like it. I didn't understand a lot of them things. But the relationship I had with that God made sure that each and every day I knew I was being taken care of. I knew that He was protecting me. No harm would come to me. I was going to be all right regardless of what I thought each and every day. I never lost that one day. Never. Even in the hospital when you were in there with Walter, when that doctor told me what he told me, it blew me away. I lost it for a little while. But then the relationship back to God for my life, regardless of what's going to happen, had to be reestablished. And then I was all right. Same thing. Same thing. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. I got hooked up a long time ago when this was going on with another book. And the other book was The Sermon on the Mount by Emmett Fox. And in that book there, I found out an application that would do exactly what this says to do here. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understand them. Understood. Praying only for the knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. And I found out that that's what I needed to know. But I found out that that has to come from the living God is what they're referring to as far as I'm concerned. And this means that I must have this today, now. And the now is every minute that I live in. And so this is really important. I believe that the quality of my life, I believe that the quality of my relationship with God is where everything lies, where everything comes from, where everything originates, where everything is guaranteed, where everything is the same today and each and every day that I live in is the same. And I think that this here, if it's not understood, I believe that I keep running elsewhere for protection, for care, to get out of harm's way. I think so. And the reason I do that is because at one time I used to have to do things a certain way. And then all of a sudden now I found out that I don't need to do certain things certain ways. All I have to do is relate my life to God for my life, and the thoughts, the deeds, the action, everything is going to be supplied without me having to know what they are ahead of time. I have to have that understanding that's who God is, and that's who I am. So I'm an alcoholic, a real alcoholic, meaning that without this God, this 12 steps, I'm going to die. I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to go to hell again. And this is a positive thing. This is a thing that's already established now. This isn't something I need to think about. This is something I know. This is something I believe. And I get this way only because of what's happened to me up to this point. That every time that I get into the picture, every time that I want things, every time I do things without the presence of God, it's not lasting, it's temporary, it's something that I don't benefit by, it's something that's there that will disturb me, cause me trouble, is something that I'm fighting all the time, wanting to know the right thing, the right time, to do something, to think something, to be somebody. I'm in conflict with ideas that I got going in my head, and it's only because they're in my head. They're all alone. They're in there because I put them there, or I'm using it. And the freedom that I have in Alcoholics Anonymous, in my life, because of Alcoholics Anonymous, is going to be there now because of this. This step here, I believe, is the step now that's the guarantee, like the others are, guarantees, of course. But this one here is the thing that's going to, if I don't do this, now this is where I learned that if I don't talk to God, then I talk to me. And I don't care where I'm at. I don't care if I'm on my knees, in bed, at work, driving a car, talking to a gal, looking at this, looking at that. If I don't ask God to be with me, to allow me to be with Him, to help me understand, to help me know what it is to see, to have, to do, I must talk to me about that. I must talk to me. And I can't do that. I can't do that with success. Now, I don't know how many alcoholics are around that want to believe this, or want to even try this, or want to even accept this. I don't know. That isn't important. What's important is that I know this. I believe this. When I look at you, don't you know that sometimes I want to judge you severely? I want to rattle you. I want to say words to you to let you know where you really are. But I can't do that. I'm not allowed to do that. I want to do that, but I can't do that. Don't you know that I will hurt you, and I know that? I don't want to suffer for that, because I will suffer for that. The relationship for my life today is from learning process that produced principles in step 11. Only 11 now is what we're talking about now. Because we're talking about a will that's not my will. The wording of 11 is so very important, because I won't accept words no more as words are. In other words, that this here, what it says in here, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Man, that's covering a lot of ground now. That's going really into this world for a different purpose entirely. That's something I can't do, something I wouldn't know how to do, something I don't want to do. And yet, though, this step here is a step I don't believe that anybody talks about. This step is like step seven. Because everybody says, turn it over. That's what I was told. I was taught in AA. Turn it over. And I don't know what turn it over means. Because to me, turn it over means pray. Okay, so I pray. But I act. After I pray, the same way I would have acted without the prayer. Doesn't make any difference. And I don't understand this, see? I don't know what this step means as an alcoholic. Man, this is another thing now that I don't remember us even talking about at the retreats we go to even, you know. I don't recall any anyway, but it's certainly it's certainly something that's the 11th. I believe that 11, the 11 step, the 12 steps, the 11 steps at the 11th step, the whole spiritual life, the spiritual awakening, the spiritual anything referring that way in your the first 164 pages in your big book is based on when you're here, not when you're somewhere else, because it's the next step will clarify that, or clear that, or make that more understandable. But while you're in 11, though, and what they're saying in 11 there, it carries results that are told here, that if you will do this, then this God will do this, and you can have this. In step 11, there's a lot of pages in 11 that has to be considered and read and looked at against when they started. I started down here in 1, and there's only 4 pages down here in 1. There's 4 pages. There's only 2 pages on each side, so there's 4 pages here. And this one here, there's so much in here to do and so much in here to have. And so they're talking in here about prayer and meditation and all kinds of things. This step here is it's more than what we can even talk about here. Explain an application form. The meaning behind it, I think, is pretty good when it says sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. So I could stay here. We could stay here for a long time. If I can get here again. So we'll go through 12 anyway, quick like. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs. And I think we went through this a little bit, but here it says in here, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, they're talking about the other 11 steps, they're not talking about the 12th step now. They're talking about what's already has happened, taken place, it's established, it's done, it's okay, it's there. Now it is saying this, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of this, of these steps, it says we tried to carry this message. Now, the main thing there was that there's a message now. There wasn't a message before. Now there is a message. And they're talking now about this message, meaning that the 12 steps, the 11 steps that we have went through, we're in a 12 step, the 11 steps we went through is a message. There's a message here, from here to here. So this is the message, it says we tried to carry this message. They're talking about this message now. Not what somebody might think, or not something that I believe that's not here, or that I think out of my head. This here is what I call the word, you see. And so this is a message that we try to carry. This message, not my message, not your message, not any human power's message, this message, see, and to practice these principles, what principles, see, the principles that are already established from an application that have a basis and a foundation, that have a beginning and an end, which is the truth, and which works, and it's already there, it's established, it's not something that you have to think. Like say, I think this might work. I think this, that. And you don't have to go on that basis anymore. If I was told that if I will follow directions, if I will do the things that are necessary, I too could have the same results as my sponsor had. That's what he told me. He said, this is the way it works. I'm going to show you a way of living where drink is not necessary. I'm going to show you a way of living that's not trial and error. It's not something that might work. It only works a certain time for certain people, certain events, certain happenings. This is a proven way that works every time. He said, I'm going to take the bumps out of the road. I'm going to make it a little easier for you to do something. If you'll follow directions and listen to what I say and try the very best that you can do, then you will get the results that are needed for your life. So I don't see, now them words are real strange to me then. They didn't make too much sense, you know, because I couldn't understand that logic or that concept or that way of thinking, because my method of thinking always came from here, and it always already was there in a power form to do what I thought was necessary, what I thought was best. Now we're totally trying to do something far removed from me, something that I have no power to do anyway. And so they practice these principles. The principles are already established. They are there, but they're many and they're growing, but they are going in a way of life that can be there for each and every alcoholic in all of his affairs, not just with needed or anything like that. This book here talks in here about the alcoholics being given the gift, the free gift is what it's called here. And this free gift is the grace of God. This, that I believe, is the face of God, anyway. And so I had to understand all of this here is something that is being presented to me for my life that I'm going to benefit for. It's for me. It's not for my neighbor. It's not for nobody else at all. It's for me, only me. And this here means that my life has to be important to me, and it did become very important to me. My life is very important to me today. Everything I see, everything I know, everything I hear, everything I'm a part of, must be in direct relationship to God, in an acknowledgement to God, for my life what's there today. I do count my blessings, but I know what my blessings are. But only because of the relationship with God, of going to God, praising God, thanking God, acknowledging God for my life, for a living God, not a praying God that I used to do or the God of ritual. Now, this here is very important to me, and I don't know if it's important to you, but it's very important to me. Because I must recognize right now, this very minute, where all of my life lies, where everything comes from. I must acknowledge to God that He's there, that I need Him. I must talk to this God. I must do this all the time. I'm an alcoholic. I've got a brain now that doesn't want me to do that. I've got a brain that says do something else. I got a brain that wants to be pleased, but I can't have it the way I want it. But I can have something else that God wants me to have, and that's what I want. Anyway, I want to be that man that He says.